and hope you've had a wonderful week so far. If you didn't, I hope it gets better. And I hope you've been enjoying the Sunday school lessons. Remember, all this is because not of the teacher, but because of the Word of God. And that's what we need. And we need to be instructed in His Word. We need to share His Word. And it is a generational thing that we must strive to encourage the next generation to do what God would have them to do. And our sins can affect up to the third and fourth generation according to the Bible. And so we need to be very mindful of that. And we need the Lord. And I hope that you understand that. Your family needs the Lord. And it's very, very important. The subject matter that we'll be talking about today, I don't know how far I'll get. And that's all right. I don't want to rush through things. I think too many times we rush through the Bible and we miss what we need to see. And we can do that in our personal study. We can also do that in a congregational type setting. And I just don't want that to happen. I want the Lord to speak to us. And I hope that you will be attentive unto what the Lord has to say to your heart through His Word. And again, I'm nothing. It's the Lord that we need. He's holy. He's righteous. He's a just God. He's a wonderful God. And He is worthy of all praise and honor. And I hope that you actively and religiously, I hate to use that term, but I hope you're always praising Him and thanking Him and thinking about Him. And the more we keep Him in our mind, the better off we will be. And I was speaking to someone before the service this morning, and you know, our flesh is still alive and well. And we got to crucify that thing daily. And even several times a day, I've learned. So let's be in prayer for the service this morning. And again, I'm glad you're here. Any first-time visitors? I see some new faces. I'm glad y'all are here. Hope you enjoy the services. I know you'll enjoy the next service even more with our pastor preaching. And so pray for Pastor Lawson as he brings the Sunday morning service. And, of course, pray for the evening service as well. But we're here. We're in Sunday school. We're going to continue our talk on the family, on the home. And last week, we talked extensively, quite a bit, on Deuteronomy chapter 6, what the Lord expects us to do, that we should be thinking about God how often? All day long. Our minds should be reflecting upon Him. And sadly, I don't know of anyone that can say that that's exactly how it happens every day in their life, that they're just constantly thinking about God. But we should. And we should strive to. And so keep that in mind, if you will. You know, Job chapter 14 says, man, in verse 1 it says, man that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. The Bible declares it doesn't take long. A newborn infant, just a few days, and you're going to find out it's full of trouble. The problem that we have in our society today is we have mamas and daddies that think their children can do no wrong. That's a misservice to your child. And then there's the other spectrum of that where people think that their child does no good. And so being well-balanced as a Christian is important. And we must strive to be well-balanced. And we will be talking about discipline this morning, should we get that far. And I promise you, when you're raising children, the majority of your arguments in your marriage may come to be centered around raising children, teaching children, and disciplining children. And I know there's been some major arguments, if not fights, in marriages over this very subject, because there's not an agreement about how things should be handled. Brothers and sisters, I hope that we would avoid that. No matter what, even if you disagree, there's a way to handle it. And it's not to discuss it or argue about it in front of your children. Because children know how to divide. Children know how to play mom against dad and vice versa. Whichever side that they lean to, that's the one that they're going to try to promote. It's the one that gives in to them the most, that's the one they're going to try to promote. And so we've got to be on guard. Don't think, listen, I don't think it's satanic influence, I just think it's the flesh. Now, Satan can have an influence in that, don't get me wrong. But our own flesh nature would have us to give in to the side that lets us do whatever we want to do and how we want to do it. And a part of discipline is learning how to behave, to train ourselves, discipline ourselves, so that God can use us the way that He would have us to be. So let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Brother John Jones, would you pray for us this morning? Amen. Thank you, brother. All right, if you'll take your Bibles now, let's go over to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. Now, that verse that I just read, it says, man that is born of a what? Isn't it funny we can't define what a woman is, but yet when you read the Bible, it just seems to be so clear. How many of you men have delivered children? If you raise your hand, I'm going to come get you. I'm not talking about in a doctor sense. I'm talking about you actually gave birth to a child. There is absolutely no way a man can do that. And so just keep that in mind. And, you know, I think it's funny. Some of these NBA stars have gotten into the fight, which I'm glad they have, to try to prove the absurdity of all this. Some retired NBA players want to join the WNBA and play as women. And so they had a mercy meeting, and they couldn't come to a conclusion. I got a very simple solution to it. Just quit being insane, quit being foolish, and just admit it's a big myth and a lie. And man is man, and woman is woman, and God made us exactly what He'd have us to be. God makes no mistakes. And so I hope that you understand that. Now, Hebrews chapter 12, we're going to pick up, and we're going to read starting in verse 4. Let me know when you're there by saying amen. All right. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 4 says, you have not resisted unto blood, striving against sin, and you have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord, what? Please remember this. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? Do you see the assumed exception of the truth here that fathers correct their children because our Heavenly Father corrects His children? This is very important we understand this, and this is not because the father hates the child. It's because the father loves the child. And yet, correcting children, disciplining children today has been turned around to where it is taught as a hateful event. We must keep to and hold to the Bible. Stay with it. We have an example. That's our Heavenly Father and how He deals with us. And here's the thing, if God does not chasten you, if God does not rebuke you, we're going to get into what the Bible says about that. And this also, I mean, every part of it's important, and I know I keep saying, well, this is important, that's important. It's all important. And I'm not trying to, you know, put more focus on this is more important than the other, but listen, we're dealing in this society that we live in where society looks down upon correcting children. They do not want our children to read the Bible. They don't want our children to know how to pray. There was a time, and many of you are familiar with this, many of you were alive during this, when they removed the Bible from the school. When they removed prayer from school. Look where it's gotten us. How many people in jail today, whether federal or local, county, it doesn't matter, how many people are in jail today because they weren't taught what the Bible says about crime? Do you know that we get our teachings about capital punishment, about punishment for crimes, from the Word of God? God hasn't changed. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we need to prepare our children for success, not for failure. But if you will not correct your children, if you will not get on to your children, you are setting them up to be failures. And they may do well in society, but remember, they're not going to end up standing before society at the end. They're going to be standing before a holy, just God. And this is something that we need to prepare them for. If you endure chastening, God dealeth you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if we be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Now, this used to be a term used quite a bit in years gone by. And, of course, it's used as a curse word nowadays, just people talking in their foul language. But a bastard is one who does not know who their father is. Okay? And it's an unfortunate thing. But here, the Bible makes it very clear, if you are a child of God, he will chastise you. If God is not chastising you when you sin against him, then you do not belong to him. And there are many people with this attitude today, well, I've done this and I've done that and God hadn't got on to me. And he must be okay with it. No, he's just waiting for a time that he will deal with it. And then it's going to be too late for you or for whoever. And so let's teach our children to revere the Word of God. Let's show our children the Word of God, live it before them, but also help them to understand our Heavenly Father cares so much about us, he loves so much about us, that he will get on to us and punish us if necessary to help us to get back in line with him, to restore that fellowship with him. And how many of you have been familiar with the chastisement of the Lord? If you haven't, I would encourage you to check on your birth certificate as far as your soul goes and see if you've been born again or not, because it's very, very important we understand this. And so this society that we live in, I mean, you think about it, our local officials, not necessarily here, but throughout our nation, a person can commit a crime, they get arrested, and they're out to go do it again. There's no punishment. There's no punishment. In fact, they seem to applaud it. Again, they're ignoring that there is a righteous, holy God. And even these officials, whoever they be, it doesn't matter what side of the aisle they're on, if they are not upholding the law, they are disobeying the law. And in my opinion, they too need to be punished. That would solve a lot of problems as we see it today. But here he talks about, if he doesn't chastise you, then are you considered to be a bastard. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh. Now, this is where it relates to you and I. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them what? It's a trained, accustomed habit of mine that if I see someone, if it's a male and I'm talking to him, I'll say, yes, sir, no, sir. If it's a female, I'll say, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am. How many of you were raised that way? And I'll get to talking, and I'll even say it to guys and gals that are younger than me, and they're like, huh? It just strikes them as odd. Well, it's just the way that I have taught. We show respect to people. And, you know, even those that are elder than I am, they'll say, don't call me, sir. Don't call me, ma'am. I said, if I don't, my daddy will whip me. And that's just the way I was brought up. You show respect when you talk to people. And so when you think about this, when our earthly fathers, our parents corrected us, it taught us reverence. It taught us to revere the authority in our lives. If we raise our children without punishment for doing wrong, without showing them what's right, they will not recognize that there is an ultimate authority that they will have to answer to. And we are there. We are there as a society. And this is why it is though the world thinks that God does not exist, because it's been pumped into their heads. It's been taught to them by people who we should trust, or we have trusted to teach our children right and wrong. Again, Deuteronomy was not written to the schoolhouse. It was written to parents. As far as what it was addressing in chapter 4 and chapter 6, that was addressing parents' responsibilities. God did not give my children to the government. God gave those children to me. They are his children. They are on loan to us as long as they are in our homes to try to rear them and raise them for the Lord. But the idea is that there is a higher authority that we need to show reverence unto, and God's name is Reverend. I do not like the term to me that people say, hey, Reverend, don't call me that. I mean, it seems silly in a way, but no, there's only one Reverend, and that's God. And we need to respect him, and he is holy and just. And so it goes on to say in the middle of that verse 9, shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits? And look at that next word at the end, live. For they verily for a few days chastened us, and after their own pleasure. But he, referring back to God, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his what? Holiness. Now, no chastening for the present seemed to be joyous. How many of you say amen there? Our children say amen there. No chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth. Another word for that is producing, or, you know, produceth. It yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Now, do you want blessings in your home, or do you want terrors in your home? I've been in many homes where there are absolute terrors ruling that house under the age of 13. Think about that. Children ruling their parents. Does Isaiah mention anything about that? It sure does. It talks about how it's a curse upon those people, that the children are ruling the parents. Look at our society. We need to pray hard. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person, as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For you know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected. Do you want your children to be received of the Lord, or do you want them to be rejected of the Lord? Moms and dads, this is a question we must ponder. For he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. Remember, it is the goodness of God that leads us to repentance. It's God working in our hearts and helping us to see we have not done right. Therefore, he deals with us. If we're saved, if we've been born again, he will deal with you as children. Does he always spank us? No. A lot of times he tries to get our attention through that still small voice, that conscience that he has placed inside of each and every one of us. When you do wrong, even before salvation, when a person does wrong to begin with, they feel uneasy. We call it a conscience, right? Something saying, don't do that. This isn't right. But we choose, obey, disobey. Consequences follow depending on what we do. But notice the correlation between God our Father and us as his children, and then our natural parents or our fathers chastising our children because we love them, because we want them to do well, talking about profit. Okay, we want them to do well. We want them to stand before God in a right way. I do not want my children to do the things that I did before I got saved, even after I got saved. I don't want my children to repeat my sins. I don't want my children to repeat my disobedience, my rebellion, whatever the case may be. I want better for my children. This is why, when a person stands up here, we are not the perfect examples, but we know the perfect example, and he has given us his word. How many of you have heard they have a new child in their home, and they said, I wish there was an instruction manual for babies? We all do, but we have exactly what God wants us to have. But God also gives us something outside of the Bible to help us, and that's those who have done these things before. Godly parents, godly grandparents. And by the way, I hope all of us can be recognized either as godly parents or godly grandparents or both, or even great grandparents. Amen. You've heard Pastor bragging on his great grandson that's been in the services here a few times lately. Praise the Lord for that. That's something that brings us joy, but not everyone has a godly parent. Not everyone has a godly grandparent. But thank the Lord for those that do. Amen. And for those of us that have children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, we need to ask the Lord to help us to be the best example and help and encouragement that we can to those children. This is what the Lord have us to do. We all have a part, but we all have an example of what we were raised under, that we were corrected as children as well. I was raised that if I got in trouble at school, when I was in school, if I got in trouble at school, even if I got a paddling, now that just sounds foreign today, doesn't it? I used to get paddlings at school. How many of you can say amen to that? All right. My dad's rule was, if you get one at school, you're getting one when you get home. Now, in our legal system, we have this thing called double jeopardy. That didn't exist in my home. How many of you had the same problem? We had double justice in our home. But I thank the Lord for it, because it did do me well. And I thank the Lord that I had parents that tried to teach me wrong from right, whether I listened or not. They did what they could with the understanding that they had. In Deuteronomy 25, I'm going to ask you to turn there, but if you want to write it down, you can look at it later. Deuteronomy 25, verses 2 through 3, talks about how many stripes a grown person would receive. And I stress that on purpose. The maximum that you could, you know, whip a person with that rod was 40 times. Now, Paul talked about being beat several times, 39 stripes. They would just bring him up to the very maximum limit, and that was cruelty, by the way. They were just doing that out of hatred towards him. So they can say that they didn't break the law by going over 40. But parents, when we think about chastening our children, it is a requirement given to us out of the Bible, and we're going to look at these verses here in just a little bit. But there's also a thing called doing punishment correction the way God would. Remember when Paul talked, and I believe it was 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 11, I think that's the right address, but he was talking about all these people, all the wicked sinners, and then he finished it up by saying, and such were some of you. When we go to correct our children, when we go to discipline our children, I hope that we will do some self-reflection first. And I say this post-raising children, and I wish I had thought about things before I corrected my children. But we need to chastise them the way that God chastises us. God does not always take us to the woodshed, as we like to say in America. God lovingly tries to get our attention by speaking to us, by allowing that conscience to work in our soul. And if we continue to refuse, then he's going to crank up the heat a little bit. He's going to work in you a little bit harder, try to get your attention. And then if you're still hard-headed, stiff-necked, rebellious, then he can bring about physical punishment or just bring about death. There are people that I'm sure we all know that we would say, well, they stepped out of life early because they just would not give in to the Lord. They just wouldn't listen. They just wouldn't hearken unto him. The wages of sin is death. Now, wait a minute. That's not true, preacher, because Adam sinned, Eve sinned, and they didn't die. Oh, they died spiritually that day. They died as far as they were separated from that fellowship that they used to have with God. And so just because it doesn't happen right away, just because it doesn't happen when we think it should happen, doesn't mean that God's word will not come to pass. Would you turn for me to Luke chapter 12? Luke chapter 12. I want to show you something here. Now, we're talking about raising children. We hadn't got to the book of Proverbs yet. And by the way, the book of Proverbs is full of verses on how to chastise your child. And God expects it. Please understand that. Luke chapter 12. When you're right there, say amen. Verse 46. The Lord of that servant will come in a day when he looketh what? When he looketh not for him. Do you know that God, how many of you believe Jesus is coming back? But he's coming back at a time that we may not be ready for. Now, we know he's coming back, so every day we ought to be ready. That's easy to say, isn't it? But do we live like we're ready for him to come back? But here it says, when that servant, the Lord of that servant will come in a day when he looketh not for him, and at an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him in sunder, and will appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. And that servant which knew his Lord's will, and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. This is what God's word says. By the way, who is speaking? The Lord Jesus is speaking. But he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whom much is given, of him shall be much required. And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more. God talks about chastisement here, beating. The Lord is speaking of this. Even as saved children of God, when we stand before the Bema seat, how many of you are familiar with the Bema seat? That's where the Christians will be judged. Not for salvation, because we're already saved, but for our works. And whatever survives that refiner's fire, we will be able to present to the Lord, but there's going to be a lot of wood, hay, and stubble, things that we have done that will burn up, and we will have nothing but shame for those things. And we will suffer publicly before it, I believe, before the Lord and before all the congregation of heaven. I believe we'll do that. And you think that will make an impact on your life? But the problem is we kind of don't believe it, don't we? You ever had your parents tell you, if you do this, I promise you I'm going to do this? And you're like, okay. Don't get dirty. We're getting ready to go to church, right? If you get dirty, I'm going to tan your hide. We think, I'm going to do it anyways, right? And how many of you had parents that followed through? Now, I love 1 John 1:9. How many of you like 1 John 1:9? We should all love 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. That's great and wonderful right there, but that doesn't end the verse. He is faithful just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. As a parent who truly loves your child, let's say that child, you told that child, you're in your good clothes, we're getting ready to go shopping, we're getting ready to go wherever, we're going to church. Do not get dirty. They do it anyways. We've all had children like that. And if not, just wait. But they get dirty. We need to follow through with what we said we're going to do. But do we send them to church with food stains or mud or dirt on their clothing? Or do we change their clothes, clean them up, and make it look like they didn't do that thing? That's what God does for us. Praise his holy name. Praise his holy name. But God, dealing with us as servants, by the way, I hope you're a servant of the Lord, we will receive chastisement. We will receive corporal punishment. That seems like a foreign subject to many people today. We need to understand that God's going to do this. Now, Amos 3:3 says, how can two walk together except they be agreed? Now, let's go to Proverbs. You say, why are you doing that? Because if we're not in agreement with God, we can't be walking with God. And I want you to have a great walk with the Lord. How many of you want to have a great walk with the Lord? How many of you are praying that I'll have a great walk with the Lord? Please do. Please do. Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Does that mean if you train them perfectly and everything they should do, that they will not stray away from the Lord? It does not mean that. That verse can be taken out of context. That verse can be taken and twisted. Our children, when they get older, they still have to make decisions for themselves. Okay, so Proverbs 22, we're going to start there. Now, I'm not going to go in numerical order with these verses about chastisement and correction. And so we're going to be in the book of Proverbs for a little while. And I'll get as far as I can. I just told you, Proverbs 22:6. But now, if you will, skip down to verse 15. You there? Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. Not my baby. Now, as a grandparent, I do kind of push this issue a little bit. I see my kids getting onto their children, which I did. I did. Okay? And they're getting upset with my grandchild, who's perfect. No, they're not perfect. But I try to act like they're perfect. And jokingly, I'll say, I cannot believe you're accusing my grandchild of that stuff. And my kids get so infuriated with me. But grandparents are there to spoil their grandchildren, right? Now, seriously, we need to prepare them for the Lord as well. We need to help mom and dad. We need to back up mom and dad in front of the children as far as discipline and that goes. But here, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, and that is any child. For all has sinned and come short of the glory of God. Yes, even your little precious child, or even your big precious child. But when you think about this, everyone suffers from this. But the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. How many of you have a rod of correction? Now, it's kind of like the Bible, and sometimes, you know, sometimes it just gathers a bunch of dust when it's not being used. But there is a direct connection from using the rod of correction to that child's brain. I personally think that the backside is the place, and I'm talking about that cushiony part of the backside, is the place where we ought to chastise our children, correct them with the rod of correction. Now, here's a problem you're going to run into. In Wyoming, for example, when we lived there, you could not use any instrument to punish your child other than your hand. And here's the attitude. Well, I'm just going to do what the Bible says anyways. Well, you're going to end up in jail. What do I do? Obey the authority over you. Now, the reason I believe God would have us, and I'm giving you some of my thoughts in all this as well. It's not, you know, biblical. I can prove this. But our hands ought to be welcoming stations to our children to run to us, even when they're in trouble. But our hands can also hold that rod of correction to help steer our children in the right direction, to get their attention. It seems like there are certain nerves in the hind end that are directly connected to the brain. And once that nerve is activated, it seems to get that child's attention. Now, some children are very hard-headed. Amen? Like their mom, right? But some children are so stubborn that you say, I'm going to break you. Be very careful with that. Be very careful with that. We want to break that stubborn-headed will, but we do not want to break their spirit. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Chastise them in love, not in anger. Too many times we warn, oh, you're out in public, you just wait till we get home. And if we're not careful, we'll dwell on that. The anger builds up, and we are going to make sure that they pay for their injustice because they embarrassed us. Is that the right reason to correct? No, that's just our pride trying to get over on those children. Before we chastise our children, and I can say this not out of expertise and not because I practice it the way I should have, but out of shame, I say, listen, wait. Now, if you promise a spanking, don't lie to your kid. But not everything deserves a spanking. That should be like a last resort. Now, if I had a whistle, I would blow it this morning. Because what I've seen a lot lately, how many of you have ever heard of this thing called time out? We don't play sports in our home. There is no time out. How many of you know what I'm talking about? There are, hey, putting a child in a corner can work. But time out is not the only means of correcting a child. We had different types of children. How many of you had different types of children amongst the children that God gave you? We had one, we could just look at him wrong or say, you're in trouble, and buddy, he'd just straighten up like that. Our first child. And I thought I had parenting licked. I was like, yeah, I got this. I can't believe all these other people with their children. You ever had that idea, you know, that attitude towards other people? If that was my child, and so the first child, man, things were smooth. Now, he was rebelling on the inside. Please understand that. You know, that child that you tell sit down, they sit down. They're going to stand up, and you say, sit down. They're still standing up. Finally, they sit down, but you know what they're doing on the inside? They're standing up. That was him too, okay? So, but I could get his attention just through words. Then we were blessed with our second child. And I did not have parenting late. Stubborn as the day is long was my second child. Constantly begging for correction. Now, I was this way. I tell my children beforehand, this is what's going to happen. You know the best way to tell daddy you want a spanking? You act up. You do wrong. And before I go to correct them, you remember what I told you? I don't want a spanking, daddy. You ever heard that? I don't want one. Well, I told you beforehand, you do this and you're going to get this. It didn't matter. They always don't want it. And then you always hear, please, please, please. But again, I would ask you to reflect on how the Lord teaches you, how the Lord chastises you. Seriously. Because there's been a lot of children offended. There's been a lot of children turned away from God because of correction that they didn't deserve. Okay? And it's hard. And, you know, I try to make things funny, but it's very serious. There's a lot that goes into raising children. And we need to just seek the Lord's will on this and ask him to help us. Look at the next chapter, chapter 23. Verse 13. Withhold not correction from the child. Now, be careful with this word that you're going to find here, beating, okay? It has a different connotation than what we refer to it as today. For if thou beatest him with a rod, he shall not die. Yet our children think they're going to die when we spank them, right? And we correct them, I'm going to die, you're going to kill me. You know. But here it is. The wages of sin is death. Think of that when we think about this. If you correct him with the rod, he shall not die. Because you're teaching him there's a right, or her, you're teaching them there is a right way to behave and there's a wrong way to behave. Now, in Deuteronomy, when we talked about, you know, speaking of the Lord and God's commandments, his statutes, all that, we're to do it all day long. We're to have it posted on our house, in our house, when we're walking by the wayside, when we go to bed, when we get up. It should all be talking about the Lord, pondering upon the Lord. But can I just give you a good thing to think about teaching your children? Make sure you teach them the Ten Commandments. Not on how to be saved, if they keep them, because nobody's saved by keeping the commandments. We all break the first four anyways because we don't love God the way we should. And then the last six deal with our dealings towards mankind. We break the law that way as well. But that is the moral code that God has given us. Not the salvation code, the moral code. That way we should live our lives. Do you remember when there was a time in our courthouses that we had the Ten Commandments posted? How was crime during those days? How's crime today without the Ten Commandments? Just keep it in mind. So if we teach our children early the Ten Commandments, if we teach them there is consequences for not doing what the Lord have you to do, we can save them from a lot of heartache. How many mamas, grandmamas have cried and wept over their child being arrested and put into jail for things they did that were against the law, and they said, I don't know how this happened. Because they would rather be the friend of their child instead of leading that child and teaching that child and then correcting when needed that child. How many people are incarcerated today? They find the Bible in jail and then they get their lives right with the Lord. I thank God for that. But how much could we avoid with overcrowding of jails? How much could we avoid if we would just teach them the Bible first? So there's a lot of things that we need to consider here. But it says that he shall not die. And the reason we know this is talking about the second death. Verse 14, thou shalt beat him with the rod and shalt deliver his soul from hell. Remember, there's a commandment, 1 John 5:23, that God wants us to be saved. If you want your child to go to heaven, he must know Christ as his personal Savior or her personal Savior. This is something that we need to accept. Thou shalt beat him with the rod, and thou shalt deliver his soul from hell. Now, before I get too far, I looked up in Webster's Dictionary. I looked up the word correct. That means to bring back or attempt to bring back to propriety in morals. To punish for faults or deviations from moral rectitude. And it also gave the word chastise and discipline. And then I looked at the word chasten. Corrected by punishment to inflict pain, for the purpose of reclaiming an offender. What is the purpose of church discipline? To restore that brother or sister should they repent, yes or no? What is the purpose of correction in our homes, chastisement in our homes, to bring that child back into the right relationship, helping them to understand that they crossed a line, that they disobeyed God's standard of morality. That's what we need to teach our children. Do you think that we're teaching morals today as we should in America? What about worldwide? But we can do that if we'll stick with the Word of God. We can do that. We can help them. And it says, deliver their soul from hell. How many of you want your child to die in their sins and go to hell? Now, if you're saved, that should absolutely be one of the biggest priorities you have in your life. I want to make sure my child knows who Christ is. I want them to be saved. I do not want them to spend their entire eternity in the lake of fire. But mom and dad, do we actually live like we believe there's a hell? Grandma, grandpa, do we believe there's a hell? And do we also believe that those that are not found written in the Lamb's Book of Life will be cast into the lake of fire for all eternity? This is what the Bible teaches. Now, that's not fun teaching, is it? I believe I heard some people talking this past week here in the congregation about, you know, our parents, when they would chastise us, we heard this lie. This is going to hurt me more than it's going to hurt you. How many of you use that on your children? How many of you heard that being raised? This is going to hurt me more. This hurts me more than it hurts you. Of course, physically, they're lying. Right? But emotionally, does it not tear you up? How does our Heavenly Father feel? Have we considered that? Have we pondered upon that? You know, a lot of times we're worried about how we feel. We're worried about how others are affected by it, but I don't think we consider enough how God feels about it. He sent his only begotten Son to die for every single one of our sins. For every sin that has ever been committed, Jesus Christ paid that price. And yet, we disobey. Yet, we sin against him. How does that make him feel? Now, the thing about God, he's all-knowing, right? Have you ever had this idea about your child disobeying? How could you do that? Do we do it? And such were some of you. How many of you were hard-headed and stiff-necked when you were children? I'm not going to look. But what got us back in line? The Board of Education applied to the seat of knowledge, right? That'll help you. That'll help you. But God wants us to correct our children. And again, beware of civil laws that may cause you problems. Beware of the justice that you dish out. Is it in proportion to what God does with you? Because you can have your children to hate you and hate God, which is worse, and hate God by the way that you correct them if you do not do it correctly. And so keep that in mind, if you will, brothers and sisters, as we go forth. I'm going to have to stop here today. We will cover more of these verses next week. There's plenty in the Bible to teach us. I also want to start covering how a father should react with his child, how he should treat his child, and how a mother should as well, because that's important. And we'll get into those things. Correction and punishment, is that the only thing we should focus on? No, let's teach them to love God. Let's teach them to desire to want to do good. And the best way we can do that is through our own actions, through our own obedience unto the Lord. Amen? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I thank you for your word. Father, I'm such a failure in what I've done. But Lord, I know you're merciful. Lord, you've been gracious. You've been merciful. And Father, I pray for these parents, these grandparents, great-grandparents that are here, those that are listening via the internet. Father, the failures that we have, please help us to correct them. Father, the places where we're lacking, help us to apply them. But Lord, help us to reflect you in all of our decisions and all the things that we do concerning raising our children and our family. Lord, that we would truly be Christ-like. Father, that we would mimic the pattern that you have set forth for us, how you chastise your children. Lord, help us to remember the mercy, the long-suffering attitude that you have towards us, Father. Lord, how that we truly deserve to be punished and in hell today, but because of your grace and your mercy, we're not. Father, help us to reflect you in everything that we do with our family, with our children, that our children would know you if they don't yet, that they would walk with you, that they would desire when the time comes for them to have children, that they would desire that their children would know you as well, walk with you. Father, that you would continue to help us to have a godly generation to come forth, each and every generation. Father, protect our children from the sins of our past, from our familial sins that we have passed on after generation after generation. Lord, just please put a hedge of protection around us. Lord, help us to put you in your proper place as the priority in our homes. And Lord, that we would truly show our love by caring enough to train our children, but also correct them when it's necessary. Father, I thank you for all that you do. I'm glad that you're holy, you're righteous. And Father, you care enough about us and helping us that you have written down what you'd have us to have. Lord, help us to apply it. I ask these things in Christ's name for his honor and glory. Amen.